Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm joined in the studio now by Simon Harris, the Minister for Higher Education and Fine Gael TD for Wicklow. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for joining us. You're here to talk to us about this new pilot scheme you're proposing on rapid testing for students. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to talk to you about that AstraZeneca decision. We're being flooded with text messages on this morning. 15,000 vaccines, we understood, meant to take place today will have to be cancelled, postponed, changed. Do you think it's an overreaction from NIAC and the HSE when what we're dealing with here is an adverse reaction in 4 in a million cases?
I don't think people like me are qualified to second guess the National Immunisation Advisory Committee. And in fairness to them, not only have they made a decision based on the medical and scientific advice to them, they've been willing to then come out and communicate very clearly that decision. Now, there's no getting away from the fact that it's incredibly upsetting and frustrating for the 15,000 people today. People see vaccinations as a path to freedom, and people were looking forward to getting their vaccine today, and 15,000 people had those hopes dashed. But I am encouraged by the comments of the Acting Chief Medical Officer, where he said last night that he doesn't believe this will necessarily have a material effect on the delivery and the timescales for the programme. So there's no doubt about it, this is going to cause disruption. I'm sure it's a headache the HSE could have done without. But it's always important when it comes to public health and when it comes to vaccination that any concerns whatsoever are acted on really quickly. And in many ways, I think people can have greater confidence now that they know that we have public health experts who are being very, very cautious, because I think it's that caution that can actually give us confidence.
And do you think we'll still hit that target of 80% of our adult population vaccinated by the end of June?
Yeah, but based on what I heard from both Professor Butler and Dr. Glynn in the last 24 hours about this not likely to have a material impact, this is going to be a real logistical headache. I mean, we still have the same amount of supply coming into our country. There hasn't been any, thank God, change in that. So we will receive almost 4 million vaccines in April, May and June. 4 out of 5 of them aren't AstraZeneca. But they do obviously now need to look at how you sequence them and how you get the most appropriate vaccine to the most appropriate person. Mm-hmm. So it's a big body of work that yet again they have to do. A group of people who have been working flat out for such a long period of time. I feel for them in that regard, but it's important we get this right.
Yeah, I mean, the AstraZeneca vaccine has had a lot of bad press and we're getting an awful lot of messages from people aged between 60 and 70 today who are saying, I don't want it, I'm not taking it.
And on a human level, I can understand that. If you're reading in a newspaper and you're wondering, well, hang on a second, if people above 70 can't get it and people below 60, why us? So what I would say to people is take your advice from your GP, have the conversation. And I heard Dr. Favier recently. I'm not suggesting everyone flood their GP or ring their GP this morning. But, you know, when you get called for your vaccine, have that conversation with your GP, have it with the person administering your vaccine and reassure yourself. But this is about an abundance of caution. And I think this is a really important point. If AstraZeneca was the only vaccine we had, we wouldn't have made the changes that NIAC made last night.
Should people be offered a choice now,
though? It's about trying to find the most appropriate. I don't think we're at that point where choices can be offered. I think we're at the point where we have to use the supply that we have to the best effect based on the best medical advice. And look, you know, as an individual, how do I know what vaccine is better for me? I mean, I've always adopted the approach you take the medical advice from the medical experts. I think that's served us well, and I think that's what we should continue to do.
We may get to the point, though, where supply allows us to offer a choice to people.
And if we do, great, but I don't think it would be helpful for me to speculate on that today. Okay. We're not in that place today.
You're announcing that the state is going to cover the cost of mandatory hotel quarantine for returning Erasmus students. There are about 1,000 of them, are there?
There's about 1,000 Irish students abroad on Erasmus in Europe. There's 556 of them in the 5 European countries going on the mandatory hotel quarantine list from tomorrow. I can just give people the breakdown if they wish. There's 16 Irish students in Luxembourg, 16 in Austria, 45 in Belgium. There's 250 in France, 229 in Italy. So that comes to 556. Interestingly, they don't all come back at the one time. Mm-hmm. So they come back between the months of April and September. And the reason I've taken the action that I'm taking today in consultation with the 3 party leaders in the coalition is I want students who are abroad on Erasmus to finish their Erasmus. Take your time, stay where you are. I know some of them are in the middle of their exams. Enjoy insofar as you can in a pandemic your experience abroad. And then when it is your time to come home, as planned, come home.
So was there a panic to get back before Thursday?
Well, I heard a lot of students, including on RT Radio over the last few days, wondering, you know, God, I'll have to cut my Erasmus short. And what I would say to them is 2 things. Don't, because we will cover the cost. But I'd also say this. Mandatory hotel quarantine is a short, sharp, crude blunt intervention. It's not something that we want to see in place in Ireland forever. And actually, the legislation that we brought in lapses 3 months after it's brought in. So it's quite possible a student due to come back in August or September, even July, may come back to a very different scenario. You know, we've seen countries drop off the list in recent days, as well as countries be added. So my message to students abroad, and I know it's easy to say, but I mean it sincerely, don't panic. I'm working on the mechanism now where we will cover if you're on Erasmus, your mandatory quarantine. I spoke to my colleague, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, last night to see if we could do that through the embassy structure, where maybe they could give a waiver. We'll work out the detail of that over the next day or two, and we'll make that detail available.
So you don't have details yet as to how you would apply for this if you're an Erasmus student?
So my preference, my very clear preference is, and I discussed this with Simon Coveney yesterday and again this morning, there is a waiver that the Department of Foreign Affairs through their embassies can already issue on compassionate grounds. I want to see, and my officials are engaging with his today, to see if we could extend that to students. I don't want the student to have to put their hand in their pocket, is the idea. Okay. So that's my preferred mechanism, and we'll have full clarity on that in the next day.
A listener would like to know, what about students in other countries such as the USA and Canada? They're not on Erasmus, but they're studying abroad. They may be on scholarships. They may be just as poor and strapped for cash as those on Erasmus. They will have to pay.
Yeah, so I need to be honest with people. I mean, my announcement today relates to Erasmus. And why does it just relate to Erasmus? Because with Erasmus, we, the Irish education system, are effectively sending the student abroad. We pay for quite a bit of the cost. And I think we have a duty of care, therefore, to help them get home. I would say for anybody who's abroad, whether they're a student or not, there are the waivers in terms of paying up front on compassionate grounds. I also think, because you mentioned the US, I really want to see the government now expedite this issue of people who've been vaccinated. I mean, I'm hearing now people in their 30s being vaccinated in the United States. President Biden is promising, I think, all adults who want a vaccine one from Monday. I don't want to see a situation where our students are coming back fully vaccinated from the United States to have to go 2 weeks into mandatory hotel quarantine. That seems illogical to me. And I'm very pleased that the government decided on Friday to expedite a review of that. So I'm saying that by way of thinking that that could benefit many students.
So anyone
in the
who's
States.
Fully vaccinated and has a negative PCR test should not have to go into mandatory hotel quarantine.
That's my very firm view. What the government has committed to doing, though, is looking at that with our medical experts, but also looking at it pretty quickly. I think we need to prioritise mandatory hotel quarantine, which I do think sadly is necessary. We should prioritise it for those most at risk of bringing COVID into our country, and particularly new variants. It's hard to logically explain if someone's fully vaccinated for a period of time where they're a greater risk than you or I.
Okay, and the cost of this is €1 million?
It is and it isn't. It's potentially up to €1 million. I don't think it'll be anything like that because, as I say, there's 556 students. It would involve all of them coming back and all of them going into mandatory hotel quarantine. I think the likelihood of that happening is slim because countries will drop off the list.
OK, but the million is, the upper end.
Is the upper end, yeah.
You're launching this pilot scheme in May, which will provide rapid COVID testing for students. So which colleges have you chosen?
So can I just say, I'm really excited about this. I think this is a potential game changer, not just for maybe opening our colleges again, but perhaps even for actually opening a bit of society again. I'm the Minister for Health who had to cancel the Ireland-Italy rugby match. You know, we could actually start seeing outdoor gatherings, people in stadia, if rapid testing could play a really helpful role in that. Mm-hmm. So we are the Department of Science and Research, along with higher education. It makes sense for us to partner up and pilot things. So Trinity, UCC, UCD and NUI Galway have come together with some public health experts. We're going to look at supporting this through Science Foundation Ireland. And what we will basically be doing is rolling out new innovative COVID rapid tests in both student accommodation and also in on-campus attendance. There's about 7,000 people in campuses every day. There'll be a variety of tests, saliva tests, nasal spray tests, tests you can do yourself, tests you can't do yourself. Some people will be serially tested twice a week. Some will be randomly tested. And what this is about doing is, I suppose, learning more about the tests, which could benefit the whole country. But also, I want to get our students back to college desperately. We need them back. And I think this could be another tool
in our arsenal
for September. Is
the problem not, though, that they're just not reliable enough? Isn't that the problem? That they're useful when people are symptomatic?
So I'm the Minister for Research, right? So I think it makes sense for me to research them and try them. They're not the PCR test. So if you or I have symptoms, you go to your room, you ring your GP, you get your test, you isolate. But they're also, and the challenge with this virus has always been, there can be people who are asymptomatic. You can have the COVID virus within you, not feel sick. And they do seem to have benefit in picking that up. But let's see. I mean, what's the harm in seeing? Mm-hmm. We need to constantly try and get ahead of this virus. And any day we're not trying new things is a wasted day. So okay. I think this is an important step.
I just have a message that's come into me here. Can you ask Mr. Harris about the assurance of third level students returning to college in September? Mm-hmm. I've 3 third level students in 2 different universities having paid over €9,000 in fees. Not one of them has set foot taught in their university this year. These young adults, I think, have had a rough time and deserve to be back at their colleges next September.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. But what I have to do is this. So let me say very clearly here on your programme today, it's my intention to dramatically increase the on-site attendance of students from the new academic year. And sometimes when I say the new year, people think I mean January. I don't. I mean the new academic year, which starts around September, October. We already have worked on a plan. We got very unlucky last year because the virus got pretty bad at the same time colleges were due to reopen. We've already invested a lot of money in making our colleges safer. We're now trying the rapid testing as well. We will be in a very different place with vaccination by September. So I could make a guesstimate today. I don't think it's the right time, though, because I want to get as much information and see the benefit of the vaccine programme. So in June, we'll provide a concrete update on what the new college year will look like. But to be clear, it won't look like this one. I mean, college is not about sitting in the box room or at the corner of the kitchen table. Our young people have suffered, not even educationally, actually, but from a mental health and well-being point of view. And it's not sustainable and we need to get them back. And that's what everybody is working tirelessly to do, okay, but to do it in a safe way.
I want to ask you about this story. I was talking to Alan Kelly about it, where he says that the Taoiseach needs to have a word with Minister Donnelly, the Minister for Health, about his priorities. Now, this is about Stephen Donnelly appears to be perturbed by the fact that he's not mentioned in his departmental tweets. And you, on the other hand, appeared in 10 tweets received from Graphs in the Irish Times today over the time period which was examined, which was way more than any person or entity in the Department of Higher Education. Why does it matter how many times a minister's name is mentioned in a tweet?
It doesn't. It doesn't matter at all. I mean, you.
This now coming from you. You love social media. You're on TikTok and Facebook.
I do, and you always ask me about this. I think you're more intrigued in my social media than I am. But look, I enjoy communicating on every platform that I possibly can. That's the person I am. It's the type of politician I am. Perhaps it's the generation that I'm of. And I make no apology for that. But look, I think you know me well enough from coming on this programme that I offer comment on many things. I really have no useful comment to make in relation to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that Taoiseach should have a word with him about his priorities if that's what he was concerned about on a day when there were 4,000 COVID cases confirmed?
Look, in fairness to Minister Donnelly, I know he's working flat out on the pandemic. I know a lot of the people in the Department of Health personally. I know them well. I know they're all working flat out. So,
Dermot Ferriter wrote about this recently. I'm sure you read it. He said
there's
a desperate neediness to politicians communicating their every thought, and it ends up coming across as vacuous and indulgent. And he made particular comment about you.
He
said that the Minister for Higher Education, of all things, wasting time on these analyses is a sobering reminder of the dumbing down of his profession.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't necessarily expect a historian to understand this matter, but the world is evolving and evolving rapidly. And we can't be snobby when it comes to politics.
Being a historian doesn't mean you're a relic.
No, and being a politician doesn't mean you're vacuous, right? So, which is just the charge that you've levelled at me in his words. So why would we adopt this snobby, elitist attitude, with no disrespect to your programme, which I enjoy coming on, but that the only people who are entitled to hear to their ministers are people who listen to RT Radio 1? I mean, why would we adopt that approach? And if we do adopt that approach, we're really missing a beat here. There are a lot of people of my generation and a lot of people younger, and remember, in the departments that I'm in, I have a particular responsibility to them, who do go to TikTok to find their news, who do go to Instagram to find information. And I think it's important, and I actually think everybody can learn from it, including media organisations, and some are.
I think he's concerned that you're just spending too much time doing this when you should be doing other things.
That's kind of a baseless concern. I mean, I'd love to see the evidence in relation to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think and I hope I'm known even by my political opponents to be a hard-working minister. I've come in today to talk about a number of initiatives I want to get done. But communications isn't some kind of discretionary, silly little thing over there. It's a key part of public discourse and public debate. It's how you bring about social change in our country. Mm-hmm. You talk to people. You live in a participative democracy. You debate issues. I get a lot of criticism, a lot of abuse on social media. You know, but it is a space that is there. We can't just all stick our head in the sand and pretend it isn't.
Yeah, well, I suppose what you're saying then convinces me that you would see that it's important that a minister is mentioned in departmental tweets then.
No, I see social...
Going back around to the start.
Nicely done, but no, I mean, I see social media as important. I see it as a platform that politics, media and everyone involved in public discourse need to recognise. I don't think that it matters diddly squat how many times one individual person is or is not mentioned in an individual tweet or not. I think they're entirely different matters.
Okay, Minister, thank you very much for coming in today. Let's take a quick break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.